Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
So do you know what genetically modified foods are?
Like tomatoes and things they do, like to make them last longer when they ship them and stuff.
Right. Bettered or improved by species, by collecting the best of and keep going.
But I've heard of them. Yeah, I don't know how big of a fan I am, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know if it's good or bad.
Do you know that we've been eating these foods for the last 10 years?
No, I haven't known that. Where do they normally sell those kind of foods?
I'm kind of taken back by it. I thought it was just grown in soil, and I didn't know they were modifying my food.
I know.
It's kind of scary.
Well, I know it's been a while. I didn't realize quite that long.
Welcome to the real world.
Americans get sick more often than Europeans and people in other industrialized countries, and they're getting sicker. Since the mid-90s, the number of Americans suffering from at least three chronic illnesses nearly doubled, and America's international ranking for infant mortality and lifespan also plunged. There are many reasons why this is taking place. One may be right in front of you.
They take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. The very process of genetic engineering creates unpredicted side effects.
It does not exist anywhere in nature.
They can put it out on the market without telling the FDA or consumers.
Every single cell within that plant is producing a toxic protein.
BT is designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them. The EPA got it wrong. It does break open little pores in human cells, and it might cause the same kind of disruption in our guts as it's causing in the insects that it kills.
How did my son get these food allergies? Our food supply is genetically modified. And guess what? The food that my son ate on August 25th, 2009 was raw corn. The corn that almost killed him.
We're continuing to feed our GMO-contaminated food to our children.
Genetic engineering is a false promise whose high price has already been paid by the farmers of this country. Multinationals have grabbed the seed economy, which used to be a farmer's economy, it used to be a women's economy, and now are bringing unreliable, untested seeds to the market, pushing our farmers to suicide. We happen to be sitting in the middle of all the seed industry shops right here. Monsanto this side, Syngenta shops that side, the next lane is all selling seeds of suicide.
Now you've got companies that are putting foreign genes into animals and fish that are changing the crops of the world fundamentally at the genetic level and polluting the planet with its genetic pollution. And once again, only a few scientists, corporations, and government regulators are making the decision. There's no democratic decision making. These technologies our legislation. They're going to affect our lives more than any law passed by any legislature around the world.
I think I'm ready for a dietary change. But how in the world do I know who to trust? Oh, when everybody's making contradictory claims, complicating it all so much. So I listen to the source that the big food companies endorse. Then of course I'm in the best of hands. But if there's something fishy with the things we see at the Dietitian's Academy, we should question if their opinions are independent. What if health authorities only recommended what the big food companies said they cared? Then if we put them to the test, we'd find they've been influenced just like the rest. It's a conflict of interest.
What does that mean?
It means buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
The saddest thing for me is that every failure from the perspective of a poor peasant and a small farmer in this country is not a failure from the perspective of these companies. I, in fact, traveled with one of them about 2 decades ago. And they said to us, it doesn't matter if the crops don't do well, it's all right, they'll come back for more of our seeds. The farmer gets wiped out, the land gets wiped out, the company's markets grow. And that, I think, is the real tragedy of genetic engineering, that the failure of agriculture is a market success for the corporation.
It's very important to think that this, once this biological contamination is very different than chemical contamination. If you have an oil spill, it will dilute over time. Even a chemical spill will dilute over time. This is not chemical pollution, this is about living pollution. Biological pollution. Once these fish are released into a bay or a river, you can't recall them. No scientist can say, come back, please. You can't put a net and get them. It's over. It's over. And in the United States, we have yet to have our first law. We don't have a single law which regulates this kind of biological pollution. It is completely unregulated, even though its effects will be catastrophic and you will not be able to remedy those. You'll not be able to recall this.
Avoid bad mouthing of your products, just pay the right people's bills. Take a hint from the dairy industry, convince so many they need pasteurized animal milk. When you're teaching dietitians artificial sweeteners and fluoride are safe for kids, well now you've made it obvious that you've been influenced. Cause when soda and junk food companies are publicly giving you your funds, now to say anything in defense of them is insulting my intelligence. Cause it seems a bit naive if you really can't believe, after taking their money, they'd ever say those products were unhealthy. Are they really looking out for them instead of you? What would you do? What if health authorities only recommended what the big food companies said they cared? And if we put them to the test,
this one gene, one protein, one trait caricature of how genetics works, that's the whole foundation of the biotechnology industry, is a complete misrepresentation of everything we know about how genetics in complex organisms actually works.
Biotechnologists think genes are genes. It doesn't matter where you stick them, and they'll just function the way they normally do. Any geneticist who thinks about that should know better. Genes don't function alone. They function within the context of the entire genome. Nature acts on the entire genome because after fertilization, there are whole sets of genes turned on and off in the proper sequence so that you get the development of a complete organism. So that whole orchestration is an integrated genome that acts as a complete entity. To take a gene out of a fish and stick it into a plant means the fish gene suddenly wakes up and goes, where the hell am I? Who are all these other genes around me? Because you've altered the context within which that gene is found. It would be like taking Bono out of U2 and putting him into the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and say, okay, folks, play music. Well, you get noise of some sort, but nobody can anticipate what the sum total of that activity will be. It's just a mistake to think that genes act as if their traits are expressed regardless of where they exist.
The goal of Monsanto was to replace all natural seed, to have all global agriculture completely driven by genetically modified seed, and to create a market for the chemicals associated with those genetically modified seed. There was no sense of nature. There was discussion of how to eliminate natural seed.
When I get in discussions with people, they say, well, the government reviewed them. The governments approved them. There were mountains of studies done. They couldn't have gotten it that wrong. And if it was so bad, somebody would speak up about it. But in reality, the few people that have spoken up about it have paid a high personal and professional price for it.
Because of the direct investments of these companies in our universities, new professors know very well that if you expect to get tenure, don't do any negative research on GMO.
The organization you turn to for nutritional advice has got corporate money invested to ensure they monopolize, making recommendations so blatantly on behalf of sponsoring industry. Got respect for dietitians who think for themselves, but your organization doing something else. Like the inmates running the asylum, what if help?
Now, Roundup was originally patented as an herbicide by the company called Monsanto, and they own most of the patents for GMOs as well. And having studied Monsanto for a number of years, I can say that in their quieter, more reflective moments, they asked themselves, what would Darth Vader do? Because what they've come up with is a way of pretending that they're beneficial and then insinuating themselves into the food industry, the agriculture industry, and now it turns out that what they have is very, very dangerous. And among those very dangerous things is glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. And it was the subject of a very comprehensive evaluation, an article co-written by Dr. Seneff, and it's called Glyphosate. This is going to be more science than you're ready for, the name here. Mm. Glyphosate suppression of cytochrome P450 enzymes and amino acid biosynthesis by the gut microbiome, pathways to modern disease. Now, I looked at this paper, and it all reads like that. Very, very difficult to understand. But what jumped out at me in the abstract, I'm going to read it to you. The consequences of glyphosate and all the things that it can go wrong are most of the diseases and conditions associated with a Western diet.
which include gastrointestinal problems, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease.
You have to let it all go. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. Free your mind.
Dysbiosis.
Dysbiosis, what does that mean?
The gut bacteria are not properly balanced, and there's like inflammation, and there's leaky gut. And
technical term, messed
yeah,
up.
Okay, yeah, right. And they have trouble eating lots of different things. They right. end up with gluten intolerance. Lots of the autistic kids are on gluten-free diet. You know, you can see they've got problems in the gut. Number one. And number two is sulfur. There's a...
sulfur.
Yeah. There's a clear problem with sulfur metabolites. Now, it turns out sulfur is incredibly important to the body, and there's very little talked about it. Actually, even in nutrition books, it's hardly mentioned. It doesn't have a minimum daily requirement. It's considered to be plentiful, and therefore we should never worry about a deficiency. And I believe this is a key problem in our nutritional space, that we have become blind to sulfur. And I think that, in fact, sulfur deficiency, and more specifically sulfate deficiency, and I'll get to that in a moment, is a key factor in all the modern problems that we're having. And it's something that is not on anybody's radar screen.
So first of all, the gut bacteria is involved with both the immune system and the digestive system. So when it's messed up, it can create a whole series of problems.
There's these two things, the gut bacteria. So the gut bacteria have the shikimate pathway. The shikimate pathway produces aromatic amino acids, and these are essential amino acids. We actually get them from our diet or from our gut bacteria.
So there's a bunch of amino acids that we have to get from outside. They're called essential. Now, is aromatic a subset of those?
Yes.
All right.
And we can't make them. Our chemistry doesn't allow us to make them, so if we don't get them from our diet. What happens then is that the gut bacteria being hit with glyphosate, they can't make these amino acids because of this shikimate pathway getting disrupted. And instead, they make other stuff because the pathway gets deflected into these other things. Mm-hmm. And the other things that they make are not good. There's, for example, picresol, which is made by C. difficile. C. difficile is a runaway pathogen that's been causing lots and lots of trouble in hospitals lately.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Clostridium difficile.
Yeah.
And it produces this thing called picresol, which is a toxic phenol. And so there's a lot of talk about toxic phenols being produced by the gut bacteria, and those things are toxic. They can disrupt your DNA. They can cause problems with your fats in your cell membranes. I mean, they basically are kind of a wrecking ball.
So we have wrecking balls being produced in our own gut bacteria
right.
because the shikimate pathway is no longer being able to function, so it's producing
these. It's going to there instead.
It's saying, like okay, bypass. We're going to produce these really horrible things.
Right. So that's one of them,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's a certain bacteria that can break down glyphosate, which is terrific. They can get rid of it. They're a really super deal. However, what they make is ammonia.
Great. Higher than the general population?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is it much higher?
Yes, well, I think so. And also in Alzheimer's. So both of them have
So Alzheimer's ammonia. And autistic kids have high levels of ammonia in the blood.
Yeah.
And we know that ammonia causes, what is it in the brain?
Encephalopathy, yeah.
Encephalitis.
It actually causes a very interesting, which I've written a paper about this, actually, a very interesting reaction in the brain. A severe case, you can have like a high fever, you can get seizures, you can get coma. But I think in the case of autism, there's a low-grade version of this problem going on chronically.
Thank you.
So we talked about the fact that glyphosate knocks off the shikimic pathway. And now what else are you going to tell me?
Yeah, so it does this by disrupting that pathway, and then it also interferes with these CYP enzymes through a totally different mechanism. It gets into the cells, and in particular in the liver. The liver has tons of these enzymes. One of the things these enzymes do is detoxify toxins. So it disrupts the enzymes that detoxify the other toxins that we're exposed to, which is really that's meta, you know?
That is. So in other words, there's this whole troop of people, of enzymes that go around and say, okay, clear it out, you've had stuff with this disease this chemical or that chemical. You have these overgrowth of bacteria. So it all goes into the primary detoxifier, the liver.
Yes.
And then the whole troops that are out there cleaning up, they become disabled.
Disabled.
How bad? I mean, this cytochrome.
Cytochrome P450. P40. You can call it CYP, C-Y-P.
C-Y-P.
Yeah.
So C-Y-P is really important to make these troops do the detoxification.
That's right.
And so... How does it, so you're saying that glyphosate not only blocks the shikimic pathway, but another pathway altogether?
Yeah, it interferes actually with the actual molecule, all the different molecules that are CYP enzymes. And these enzymes are really interesting. They have huge roles in the body. They activate vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot to do with cholesterol homeostasis. And so I think that a lot of the problems people are having with cholesterol could be tied to this. And making the bile acids that will digest the fats.
Digest the fats, is that obesity?
Yeah, well, that's certainly part of that problem,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
The sex hormones, all the stuff that's involved with the sex hormones, aromatase is an enzyme that converts testosterone into estrogen. And one of the things that's associated with autism is aromatase deficiency, and glyphosate has been shown specifically to block aromatase. So that's a specific example. Some of the other ones I'm generalizing from the evidence, because there's several papers that talk about glyphosate disrupting various enzymes, and so you can infer that it would, and the mechanism that it uses is general to all of them.
Okay.
So you can infer that wherever it gets close to one of them, it's going to cause problems. And there's tons of them in the liver, and the glyphosate goes straight to the liver through the hepatic port of vein. So you kind of put two and two together and get five of that.
Why are the issues with glyphosate relevant to the discussion about genetically modified crops?
Glyphosate is the chemical name for that compound that mm-hmm. is attributed for herbicidal action. Mm-hmm. The Roundup is a formulated product that includes other components besides just the glyphosate chemistry in order to increase its penetration into plant cells. Mm-hmm. Or its activity as an herbicide. When you have a genetically engineered crop that's resistant to glyphosate, it not only permits the wider use of the glyphosate, the extended exposure to it, but it also permits then the application of glyphosate directly on that crop, which many times we're consuming. Alfalfa is a perennial crop, open pollinated with an insect vector. The bee is a vector for the pollen. That in 5 years you won't have anything except Roundup Ready alfalfa. Mm-hmm. There's no way that you can have any coexistence unless it defies all of the epidemiological data that we've accumulated for 100 years on plant diseases. There's no way to maintain a non-Roundup ready population of alfalfa. What you see is that after a period of time of continued use of just one herbicide and increasing rates of that herbicide, which have been very dramatic in the last 10 years, that you see pretty soon that entire groups of organisms just cease to exist in the soil. Now, you don't have a void in the soil. So that if you pull one group out, you have another group that comes in. You have this very dramatic change in the soil microflora and that soil biota that affects these soil-borne diseases very dramatically. And that's because glyphosate is not only a very powerful herbicide, but it's also a very strong biocide. Mm-hmm. Very selective in the soil, but it stimulates some of our soil-borne diseases. And it also changes the soil microflora that affects nutrient availability then for the crops. One of those critical components in that soil microflora that disappears with glyphosate or are severely suppressed are those organisms that make manganese available for the plant. When manganese is reduced in the plant, again, it becomes very susceptible to this pathogen. And so you have a biological component that is very powerful because of the powerful biocidal effects of glyphosate, and you also have a direct effect of glyphosate as a very strong chelating agent. Now, by chelator, we mean that's a chemical that can grab on to another micronutrient or other mineral element that's essential for a plant and immobilize it. And when that's immobilized, then the plant goes into a deficiency or a reduced efficiency, so it becomes much more susceptible then for take-all disease as well as many other diseases. The organism is can be seen only in an electron microscope, very small, about the size of a small virus. It's culturable, in other words, it can be grown in culture, which we don't find with a virus. It's not a prion, it's not a mycoplasma. Very small, does replicate, reproduce itself. Very common hitchhiker with other organisms. I mentioned that it's been found in the mycelium, inside fungi. Grows very well in the presence of bacteria. It's infectious to cattle, pigs, horses, poultry. It will kill a fertilized egg in 24 to 48 hours. The problem is continuing to get much more intense, much more damaging for both our animal as well as our crop production systems.
Let me just do one more thing,
okay,
which is another effect that glyphosate has. So I think there's really at least three principal effects that it has. And the third one may be as important or more important than the other two. I don't know. And this is a depletion of micronutrients. And it basically chelates plus two. These are called plus two cations that are, really important minerals in our body. Calcium, magnesium, zinc, iron, cobalt, zinc and sulfur deficiency are associated with autism. And so that connects up as well, the zinc deficiency having to do with the glyphosate.
I'm going to read you the sentence that we started with. Now you have the background to understand that this, the consequences of the interaction of glyphosate with these molecules and these metabolic pathways are most of the diseases and conditions associated with Western diet, which include gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's. So you may not remember all the mechanisms that we talked about. I certainly won't, but I'll read the transcript. But the basically the going home instruction is to avoid glyphosate.
Do everything you can. Of course, in this country, it's especially hard because we have so much of it everywhere, even in the water supply, probably.
It's in the water supply, but it's also in the conventional grains because they spray glyphosate on conventional grains.
Oh, this is right. We didn't talk about that, but that's right.
Yeah. So and just before they're harvested to dry them down. And the glyphosate is stored in the fast-growing tissues, which at that point is the food. So you spray lentils, barley, rice, oats with glyphosate before you harvest. Pretty soon before you harvest, I mean, just before you harvest, so it gets sucked into the food, and now it's in our food supply that way too. So the take-home instruction is avoid GMOs, but also switch to organic, especially in grains, in order to avoid the glyphosate. And stop, in my opinion, using Roundup in a way that you can be exposed to this. I mean, we have a lot of evidence showing that just spraying it can end up getting into your blood system, and that's probably not a good thing based on what you heard today.
Yes.
So are you for or against genetically modified food?
Well, what our foundation is doing is we're working with partners. For example, DuPont Pioneer on some new maize things, with ADM on some cocoa growing things. Some of these are traditional breeding, and some of them are transgenic. In parallel, we're also funding scientific expertise in Africa. So when, 3 or 4 years from now, if things go as expected, there are some crops with big benefits, drought resistance, that the transgenic approach probably can do better than any other approach.
Producing BT, specifically BT trees, I think it's a very, very crazy idea, especially if the plan is to introduce them in areas where there is any organism that might exchange genes with these trees. Trees have life cycles of 50 years, 100 years, and so on, during which time we're going to see the tree putting out pollen, putting out the toxin through the root system again, putting out the toxin through every single cell in this tree. And affecting insects and all these other organisms over this very, very long period of time.
Genetically engineered plants carrying the gene for BT toxin have inadvertently killed non-target insects like monarch butterflies. This was an unanticipated consequence of gene manipulation. We've seen this before with DDT. In the excitement over the power of chemistry, millions of pounds of DDT were used. It wasn't until years later that people noticed that songbirds and eagles were disappearing, victims of biomagnification that concentrates DDT up the food chain. What the long-term consequences of toxic trees will be is unknown.
We know that the BT toxin is leached into the root system, and we know that it alters the composition of the microbial community in the soil.
A forest that kills insects would be catastrophic, causing widespread disruption to the balance of nature in which insects are a crucial part.
If
Furthermore, Bt toxin is being exuded by the root systems of corn and, as we will see, trees. And what this means is that the Bt toxin is entering the soil system via the roots of the organism containing the toxin. Now, the bacteria in the soil system are actually picking up the toxin and transferring it throughout soil bacteria in an entire ecosystem. And this Bt toxin is now being expressed or produced and emitted through this bacteria in unprecedented and very unnatural amounts through soil systems. We're also seeing evidence of this Bt toxin moving through soil systems and being emitted into groundwater and surface water as well. And we're finding in areas where Bt toxin corn is grown in high concentrations, we're finding abnormally high amounts of Bt toxin, some 3, 4, and 5 times the amount that should be in water systems.
Growing evidence suggests that Bt crops can induce allergies and respiratory illnesses in human beings. In a recent study, Terje Travik, director of the Norwegian Institute for Gene Ecology, found evidence of diseases triggered by an immune reaction to Bt toxin in Filipino farm workers living near a field of genetically engineered Bt-producing corn. Because tree pollen can travel for hundreds of miles, genetically engineered trees could have a widespread impact on human health.
They're also genetically engineering fruit trees. Cornell University is very much involved in the genetic engineering of apple trees. And what is really frightening there is what we've seen with corn and other crop plants that are being genetically engineered is the possibility for allergic reactions by people. So there's a real serious threat to human health from these genetically engineered fruit trees because of the fruit going to market. It's not labeled. Nobody knows that it's genetically engineered. People eat it, and who knows what's going to happen. People just don't know what the impact will be on their human health.
Eat fruit when it's ripe and veggies prepared just right, but that can be hard to find. And I know that not everyone is into this as I am, but hopefully once in a while you're buying from organic sources. Oh sure, it may cost just a bit more, but it's all for the future of the world and the farms we need. What do you think your children are gonna eat when all the food is owned by one company? Once they patented every single seed. I'm not making this up.
No, he's not.
You can look this stuff up.
Yes, you can.
But don't pull out your smartphone so soon. Can't you wait till the end of the tune? All the seeds are modified genetically. It'd be nice if we tested them for safety before we start ingesting them thrice daily. But this doesn't seem to be a priority. Yet I see the seeds of disease getting deeper and creeping above my knees. It's freezing, no reason to keep from fleeing. But all I need is what I'm eating. If I had the last word, I'd warn you of all the hazards. But these fat cats are mastered getting lost past faster before the evidence is explored and not after. So science stays hidden and we're given a disaster. But if enough folks can uncover this hoax, we might be able to expose the dangers of GMOs. And who knows, if we reverse the flow of this trend, it might send them a message, help it come to an end. So help us all out and read about this stuff, and we might just stand a chance to stand up to the man, where we can all raise our hands and demand some answers. And when we call their bluff enough, they will be peeing in their pantsuits. Cause not one study proves this stuff's safe, and it pains me to face the fact that we won't be able to trace anything back, because the labels will lack the fact that's not actually what it claims to be. Well, might taste the same to the layman. You see, don't you dare say amen for what you will partake in, or thank God for the blessing, because the mess in which you it's made in a laboratory by a human, your dinner's fake, man. And I'd rather eat it whole.
This toxin acts strictly as an insecticide, and this toxin is also designed to be expressed throughout the entire organism. In this case, you'll see BT toxin expressed from the roots through the trunk into the limbs and leaves of this organism 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the entire existence of this organism from cradle to grave and even beyond.
Already, crops genetically engineered to produce BT toxin have unintentionally resulted in the evolution of BT-resistant pests. The emergence of these superbugs has resulted in an increased use of even more toxic pesticides to try to control them.
But the ultimate tragedy is whenever you have something where it's like the pesticide is on all the time, it's in the crop all the time, so The only pests that are going to live through this experience are the ones that are a little bit resistant to it. And the only ones they're going to mate with are the other ones who are a little bit resistant to it. And so what you do is you breed resistance. You get superbugs where they can eat as much as they want and it won't bother them. And what's the result of that? This miraculous, naturally occurring pesticide that's relied on by organic farmers becomes useless in a very short time period because of resistance. And who benefits? Monsanto benefits because they've been charging very high prices for a short period of time and everyone else loses.
Now, these are just some of the ways that genetic engineering can cause problems. We know that even though they're doing no monitoring whatsoever of human health, if you look just at the statistics, soon after genetically modified soy was introduced to the UK, soy allergies skyrocketed by 50%. Is this due to the novel protein that has identical sections to the known allergens? Or maybe a variation of it that's changed over time? We don't know. But we do know that the process of insertion of a gene into the DNA is not Legos. You don't just snap it into place and add a trait, which is what the industry wants us to believe. The process itself is a violent change. It can damage the DNA. It can also change the levels of expression of lots of the existing genes. A gene chip study monitored the expression of proteins in the DNA before and after a single gene was inserted, and 5% of the genes that were expressing proteins changed their levels of expression. This is huge. This is why, in spite of the title of Monsanto's study in the Journal of Nutrition, that their herbicide-tolerant soy was equivalent to the natural soy, it showed, embedded within hard-to-read tables, that there was differences, including the increase of trypsin inhibitor, one of the most well-known allergens in soy, which might be responsible for the increase in allergies, in soy allergies in the UK. They also referred to other information from their studies where plants were grown side by side in identical conditions, which would give a lot more information, which they didn't even include in the study. Someone had to dig it out of the archives years later and make it public, and it showed that once the soy was heated, the difference in trypsin inhibitor was 3- to 8-fold. Also, there was a lectin, which is a potential anti-nutrient, that had increased. There was also a decrease in protein, a decrease in phenylalanine. There's a lot of differences there, which they left out under the title of their paper, which was that there was no difference, or basically they were equivalent. So there could be a lot of changes in the nutrient levels, but they don't check all the nutrient levels. They just check a few. So there could be changes in things we don't even know exist, which might have impacts on health, mood, behavior, reproduction. We don't know. They also discovered a section of the DNA of the genetically modified soy in recent years, years after it was introduced, which is damaged. It became damaged due to the process of insertion. It's long enough to create its own potential protein, which could, of course, be allergenic. That might be the reason for the increase in allergies. We just don't know. There's too many possibilities here. Remember that the FDA had said, one person said, It's not possible to ask these manufacturers to be able to determine if their foods are allergenic. And yet, there's no long-term safety.
Question what's inside, what you put inside your body. Quit relying on the liars who are smiling from the money. Fattening up their wallets from the processed foodaholics. Profits keep up from speaking about their products, making all of us sick of this stuff, and I'm sick of the games. Freaking fake signs and fraudulent claims. I wanna shake it all up, cause surely there's no team or any kind of machine that's really keeping food clean. Cause I don't consider it clean with artificial crap in my food. And while I'm rapping at you, please don't crap in my food. Cause that would be rude, but ain't it rude to exclude genetic engineering from the labels of your food? Could he be talking about how is it I never found out the GMOs are all around? Cause they don't make a sound, no they don't come to your town and say, listen people, this will drop your daughter. Wait till you hear about what's in the food's DNA. If you don't take action to change, the chain reaction remains. And if we don't demand labels here in the USA, it won't be superpowers that we get when we mutate.
And I'd rather eat it whole, not refined but natural, the way you find it, how it grows. And I'm aware that there are those who think that this is so ridiculous, but I'ma stick with this. There's so much sickness that we can get through this. Only when we all take
will the genetically engineered tree plantation of the future look like? Well, if we combine all of the impacts of all of the different traits that they're engineering these trees for, what we can imagine is what we'll have is, let's say the plantation is 1,000 acres in size. It's directly adjacent to native wild forests. Because it's been engineered to be insect resistant, there are no insects whatsoever. Because it's been engineered to be herbicide resistant, it's been heavily contaminated with toxic chemicals, there are no understory plants at all. Because they've been engineered to be sterile, a good 95% of the trees have no fruit, no nuts, no seeds, no pollen, no flowers, no food of any kind for wildlife. So there's no wildlife in this plantation. The other 5% that aren't sterile are contaminating the surrounding native forests with these traits. So those forests are now becoming inhospitable to wildlife. In addition, because many of the trees are sterile, the energy that would have gone into reproduction is going into faster growth. So you're ending up with trees that are very rapidly diminishing the groundwater, very rapidly diminishing the soils, and that in only 20 to 30 years will have completely desertified the land, which means that now you have 1,000 acres of desert, and now they have to go cut down the native forest next door to have another 1,000 acres to reestablish a new plantation.
It's a technology that cannot exist with nature. It's a technology that invades, pollutes, contaminates, and ultimately destroys the natural species. And this is fundamental, whether it be crops or fish or animals. That's the fundamental nature of biological pollution. It cannot coexist. It invades and destroys. We need to understand that as we debate this issue.